A very entertaining man who knows so much about so much. Adam Spencer. Hello, mate.
How are we, my friend?
Yeah, very good. You've got a new book, Time Machine. What number is this when it comes to books? You've had a few.
Yeah, I've done the last couple of years. I've done The Big Book of Numbers, The World of Numbers, and Time Machine. We put a separate stream of books out for younger kids as well. This one, I thought I went right back to the first sort of primitive scientific device we know of, a baboon's fibula from 10,000 plus years ago with some grooves in the side. You've all used one of those.
Oh, yeah. I keep it in the cupboard next to my abacus.
Yeah, I used to have a slide fibula. But and it was, we think it was like a calendar or a women's fertility chart or something like that. And then we rock forward to, we end with a mathematical proof from earlier this year that took a supercomputer 200 terabytes of information. If a human being tried to read it, it would take at least 10 billion years. So we've gone from a baboon's fibula to a 10 billion year proof. And on the way, we look at the history of mathematics, the history of science, and just weird stuff we've done to ourselves and each other in that time.
So how long does it take you normally to compile a book, mate? Because you've done a few of them.
I'm sort of constantly just grabbing stuff. If I see anything, the criteria for the book is, I'm not saying it's the complete history of everything. There's some amazing stuff in the world, in history, that's not in that book. There's some incredible math, some incredible science that's not in there.
Yep.
But I guarantee that everything in that book amuses me somewhat. So I'm just constantly, if I see something online, on Twitter or something that's interesting, double-click save, throw it onto an app on the phone, and then that's onto the short list of stuff to look at the next year. I mean, the unifying themes are the history of maths and science. You go back to those ancient times, and what's amazing, Ian, is that, you know, these days, if you discover something and put it online, the world knows instantly.
It wasn't all that long ago either, back in radio, and you'll probably remember, where we didn't have the internet and we had to actually use newspapers and books that were always out of date and television, which was always out of date. The internet these days for going, okay, I need to know this, click, 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 bang. Hasn't it made our job so much easier?
As long as you're careful that not all of it's guaranteed 100% true.
Tell me about the groom of the stool, one of the world's most bizarre jobs. What the hell is that?
So back in the day, if you're in a forest in medieval England and you get caught a bit short, you'd normally just nick off behind a tree or maybe down to the river. Not if you're the King of England, you don't. There was a guy whose job was to follow the King of England around with a portable toilet stool and modesty curtain that the king would use whenever he wanted to. Now, it's not the most glamorous job, and the rumour was, in some of your larger monarchs, like Henry VIII, you might have had to help with a bit of the cleaning up yourself.
Oh, dear.
But get this. Three times a day, you're one-on-one with the king at his most intimate when it's just the two of you chatting. It was an amazingly influential position in the old court.
Adam Spencer, mate, I'll look forward to having a bit of a look at this, The Time Machine, your latest book. Thanks for the chat. You're always entertaining. Appreciate it.
No trouble. If your listeners want a signed copy, it's best to go to adamspencer.com.au. I've self-published the book, so my garage is currently a great wall of china of boxes of books. So go to adamspencer.com.au, you get a signed copy, and I get a bit of my garage back.
I might need a drink of water, I think, Jack, and just a tick.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. That chesty thing is just... Lucky I've got a doctor on the phone. Dr. Andrew Miller, President of the AMA and WA. Hi, mate. How are you?
Yeah, well, I think I'm doing a bit better than you this morning.
So, what I want to talk to you about, there's been a resurgence of the rare condition of scurvy among a group of diabetes patients at a major Western Sydney hospital. This is Westmead Hospital. And it appears scurvy, which is a historical disease caused by a lack of vitamin C and generally associated with old world sailors on long voyages, is making a surprise comeback in Australia due to poor modern dietary habits. I cannot believe we are that bad. I mean, how common is this?
It's still pretty uncommon, but we're seeing it amongst disadvantaged groups in the community, including the ones who get most of their food from drive-thrus.
Oh, okay. So you're not going to get much vitamin C from drive-thrus, are you?
Well, it's surprising how long people can go without fresh fruit and vegetables, and it's a simple message but a boring one, that if you don't have fruit and veggies in your diet, then eventually you pay the price. And, of course, young people these days, they don't so much have the mum who beats them around the head in the kitchen and forces them to eat their fruit and veg so they can do what they like. And if you do that for a few years in a row, you can end up with scurvy.
Have you ever come across yourself, personally, a case of it?
Look, not in Australia. Certainly seen all sorts of range of malnutrition in third world countries. But Australians seem to be determined to ignore some of the good health benefits we've had over the years, and there is a group in the community who need to learn the lessons of James Cook, which is that if you're going to put sailors on a ship for a long time, you've got to take some fruit and veg with you or they will die.
Just to fill me in here, how long would it take scurvy to kill you if you didn't actually change your dietary
substance? They did. In the 18th century, so in the 1700s, when they went off to war, they used to lose more soldiers to scurvy than to the enemy or to any other disease. So if you've had a long-term deficiency, it'd probably be something like 5-6 years that you'd need to go without eating vitamin C before you'd see some real irreversible health problems.
Heavens. And it's not going to make any difference if you take a vitamin C tablet every day. You've got to get into your fruit and veg and all that sort of stuff.
Well, vitamin C tablets, a lot of it gets absorbed very quickly and then you pee it straight out again. So it's a good way to get expensive pee. And really, it's kind of a no-brainer. It's a bit like buying oxygen. You know, just stick your head out the window and take a deep breath. And it's the same with fruit and veg.
Interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin.
From the inside cover, over at the West Australian, it's Ben O'Shea.
Yes, a very good morning, mate. How are you?
G'day, Blackers. How are you?
Good. What's happening at inside cover, mate?
Oh, mate, well, I'm feeling like I should be going to put a bet on the horses or buy a lotto ticket or something like that. On Monday, I was shown a picture of a sign in an IGA in Bayswater, and the sign had this bold prediction that a truck was going to get stuck under the King William Street subway on Wednesday, right? So I run this picture. I said, oh, what are the chances of this amateur Nostradamus prediction coming true? Yesterday, a day before it was supposed to come true, I get a call from Rita. You won't believe it. Just as you predicted, there's a truck under the bridge.
I don't know what it is about that. That happens all the time there. What is wrong with these nuffies, really? Seriously?
Well, it actually happened twice. A couple of hours later, I got another call saying, oh, this time there's another truck and it's really stuck. And and it blocked traffic for a good hour or so.
Oh, hell.
So there
you
go.
I can't believe it. Yeah. All right then.
Now, on the political side of things, Ian Goodenough is one of my favourite politicians.
Yes.
He's a WA federal politician. great name, obviously. And he's been in the news over the years. There was a story about the Tony Abbott's mob getting Rolex watches and whether or not they were real or fake from these Chinese businessmen. And Goodenough came out and said, oh, I know a Rolex when I see one. he's a fancy kind of guy. And also he likes shooting. He's a target shooting kind of character. So he's a gun-toting, Rolex-wearing 007. If your listeners look him up on the internet, they'll see exactly how funny that comparison is.
Agent Goodenough.
Right, yeah, exactly. Well, he's released a calendar. Every year he releases a calendar, and this year's is an absolute cracker. It features various highlights of his electorate, which is sort of north of Perth, and him in various action shots, including one in a sort of a lab coat.
Is he in Budgie Smuggle? Wasn't any of them?
Oh, no, well, this is the thing. I was kind of hoping the centrefold, the June-July centrefold, would be, you know, sort of in the Budgie Smugglers, you know, just wearing a Rolex, holding a pistol. Unfortunately not.
No.
And finally, a local government up here in Perth, the Shire of Mundaring, has stumped up $31,000 for a bus shelter. Can you believe it?
It seems like an awful lot of money for teenagers to come along and graffiti over and scratch their names into.
Well, good luck to those kids, because this one has been handcrafted out of stone. It is literally the Taj Mahal of bus shelters.